Today's an episode where I get a little worked up because, well, we're talking about the sufficiency of Christ. And it matters to me. So many people are told to put their faith in their faith or put their faith in their faithfulness. We don't even know what faith is. The object of our faith is our faith, or the object of our faith is our faithfulness. And so I play a clip from D.A. Carson that will bring you to tears. It's wonderful. It's an explanation of the gospel, of what it really means that Jesus is the object of our faith. And I hope this encourages you in the way in which it does to me. Stay tuned. Ever read the Bible and walk away feeling like you're failing? No matter how hard you try, you're never measuring up. That's not a motivation problem. That's a reading problem. Most people have never been taught how to read the Bible the way Jesus taught it. So when they hear things like be perfect, deny yourself, take up your cross, they assume it's all about trying harder. But what if that's not what Jesus was doing at all? What if the law isn't meant to fix you, but to reveal your need for a savior? And what if the gospel isn't advice, but an announcement of what Christ has already done for you? That's the difference between law and gospel. And once you see it, everything changes. Clarity, rest, and confidence. In the Bible According to Jesus, I show you how to read scripture the way Jesus intended, so you stop feeling crushed and confused and start living with confidence and rest in Christ. You can get your copy of the book at theocast.org. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Theocast. I'm John Moffitt. I'm the pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And today I'm excited. Why? Because we're going to talk about Jesus again. We're going to talk about the hope of Christ. We're going to pull the clutter off the gospel. We're going to talk about the power of Christ in all of scripture for all of your life. It's a wonder and I love it. I'm glad that you're here. And I hope you're encouraged. If this is your first time listening, you can go to theocast.org. We have a lot of resources there. Episodes, videos, classes, a community, books. And if you can't afford any of it, it's yours. This is a donation. This is a supported by our listeners. And we have people from around the world that we've had the joy and privilege of giving these resources to. And we want you to have them. And so if you can't afford them, please reach out to us. We'll get them to you for free. We've given away thousands of books. I think Rest, it's pretty close to 14 or 15,000 books that we've given away. It's a joy to know that that many people have read the book. So the most recent book that we have available is The Bible According to Jesus. If you want to know how rest looks like across all of scripture, that's what this book is. 6 tools to know how to trust in Christ. Learn about Jesus and all of scripture, from law gospel distinction to covenant theology. This is not an academic book. So if you're new to Reformed theology, or you don't feel like, man, I'm not very good at reading academic books, that's not what this book is. So paperback, Kindle, it's going to be an audiobook pretty soon. So let me jump into this. I've been doing a lot of critique videos. And I wanted to show you a video that just is so amazing. Beautiful representation of the gospel. D.A. Carson is just a sweet man. The Lord has used him in so many ways. I got to meet him years and years ago. He and I sat next to each other at a dinner, and my wife was just taken back by just how kind he was. Just the embodiment of a man humbled by Christ and could talk about the wonders and the glory of Jesus. And this is a great example of that. We need to pray for him. I know he's no longer in ministry. He's struggling with his health. But man, this clip is probably one of my favorite clips, just when thinking about the sufficiency of who Christ is for us. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it and let you hear it. And then we're going to comment about it, because what he's saying is so important. It's so important for the believer to understand, especially those, if you're listening to this and you struggle with, like, do I have enough faith, or my faith is really weak, or how could God save someone like me who I struggle so much? This is for you. So let's listen to this. I wanted to point out something good, and then let's comment about it.
Picture 2 Jews by the name of Smith and Brown, remarkably Jewish names. The day before the first Passover, having a little discussion in the land of Goshen. And Smith says to Brown, Boy, are you a little nervous about what's going to happen tonight? Brown says, well, God told us what to do through his servant Moses. You don't have to be nervous. Haven't you slaughtered the lamb and daubed the two doorposts with blood, put blood on the lintel? Haven't you done that? You're all ready and packed to go? You're going to eat the whole Passover meal with your family? Well, of course I've done that. I'm not stupid. But it's still pretty scary when you think of all the things that have happened around here recently, you know, flies and river turning to blood, and it's pretty awful. And now there's a threat of the firstborn being killed, you know? It's all right for you. You got three sons. I've only got one. And I love my Charlie, and the angel of death is passing through tonight. You know? I know what God says, and I've put the blood there, but it's pretty scary. I'll be glad when this night is over. And the other one responds, bring it on. I trust the promises of God. That night, the angel of death swept through the land. Which one lost his son? And the answer, of course, is neither. Mm. Because death doesn't pass over them on the ground of the intensity or the clarity of the faith exercised. Mm. But on the ground of the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. That's what silences the accuser. Yeah. Amen. The blood silences the accuser of the brothers as he accuses us before God. He silences our consciences when he accuses us directly. Amen. How many times do we writhe in agony asking if God can ever love us enough, if God can ever care for us enough after we've done such stupid, sinful, rebellious things, after being Christians for 40 years?
Come on, man.
What are you going to say? Well, you know, God, I tried hard, you know? I did my best. It was a bad moment. No. I have no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. There is the ground of all human assurance before God. There is the ground of our faith, not guaranteeing intensity of faith, so fickle are we. Mm-hmm. It's not the intensity of our faith, but the object of our faith that saves. They overcome him on the ground of the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. God be praised. Man, so good. So good, man. It's been a while since I listened to the whole clip. I purposely didn't want to hear it. I wanted to hear it fresh and new. And man, it still hits to this day. Sometimes you wonder, like, what should I listen to that can encourage me? That would be a clip that you'd want to put in there for encouragement. All right, let's unpack this, because this is so vitally important for so many Christians. This is the thing I've been trying to address for so many years, specifically recently, about this type of preaching that robs the believer of their hope because of the intensity of their obedience or their faith. Man, what he says there is just biblical truth that has been pounded by the reformers and needs to be reclaimed today. Like, this doctrine is the essential doctrine that we have to have. Otherwise, we have nothing. So I'm going to try not to get super intense here. So let's break down this illustration. The point of it is that the doorpost covered by the blood is what the death angel passed over. Okay. So what did he see? He saw the blood and said, this house is covered, and passed over. And I love the illustration, because you got one guy who's like, I'm not worried at all, man. This is awesome. This is going on. And you have another guy who's like, have you seen what's going on around here? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, we got all kinds of wild stuff. Seeing the plagues and people, you know, dying. And I don't know, man, this is a little strange. And he asks him a very important question. He goes, yeah, but you put the blood over the door, right? He's like, well, yeah, I mean, I did that, but I mean, this is still, like, this is hard. I'm worried, you know, I don't know. And then I love that moment where he pauses and he just says, and which son died? Neither. Neither of them. Because the requirement was met. And that is when he says the object of our faith is what saves us, not the intensity of our faith in the object. This is so important. I have used this illustration for so many times, but whether it's a roller coaster ride or an airplane, if you've ever sat next to somebody and they just don't have faith in the object like you do, like I love roller coasters. It's not really one that scares me. Well, carnivals, that's different. You know, that's not a roller coaster. That's a death trap. But we're talking about like a professional, you know, like a place that's, this is what they're known for. I have been in roller coasters where the person next to me thinks they're going to die. And then I'm just like having a blast. I put my faith in the object. They obviously put their faith in the object because they got on the ride, right? But their experience is different from mine. That's what he's describing, is that sometimes our experiences doesn't always match the power of the object. And that doesn't mean there's something wrong with us. Because at the end of the day, did you put your faith in the object? Now, does it waver at times? Does it feel stronger in some moments and weaker than others? It's not based upon your performance. And I think it's so important that when Christ on the cross cried out, "It is finished," he cried that out, letting you know that his shed blood that he poured out for you and his life, which he lived for you, was completed on the cross. And that's the object of your salvation. That is the source of your salvation. Now, how you trust it is going, it doesn't determine how, whether it saves you or not, right? So like sometimes we think that we have to have perfect faith. Perfect faith, which means there's never a moment of doubt. There's never a moment of sin. There's never a moment of faulty or failure. And that's how one is saved. Well, then you're involved in your salvation. You just are. You got a percentage of involvement. You have a reason to boast. I believed and I had perfect faith and you didn't. Well, no, that's the whole point of the illustration. The ground of our salvation, how we get saved, is Jesus Christ. I think this is so important to understand. You are not saved by your faith, and it's just as important to believe that you're not saved by your faithfulness. Man, I've been saying this for years and years and years, but you know, this is pietism and lordship salvation and this constant legalism where we're emphasizing faithfulness. And I just did an episode with Friar Mike Smith, where he's talking about Catholics believing in faith alone, sola fide, and then he gives this explanation, and it's not. He says you're saved by your faithfulness. It's faith working itself out in love, and if there is no love, which is faithfulness, obedience, then there is no salvation. The object of your faith is not your king. It's not your savior. The object of your faith is your performance. Or it's your affection, or it's your desire, or it's your intensity. And I'm telling you, the more that you look to Christ and understand he will hold you fast, he will never let you go, he will never be separated from you. How many times did Paul have to say it? When you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he came to you. When you were his enemy, he came to you. It's not transactional. There is nothing transactional about your relationship to God whatsoever. He laid his life down for you before you ever even knew about it. He came to earth and laid down his life for you. And now he is presenting himself as this savior to you in so many ways. All throughout scripture, the entire Bible is one big narrative teaching you that you can trust the sufficiency of the object of your salvation, Jesus Christ. Man, this is what needs to be preached. This is what needs to be taught to our children. This is what discipleship needs to be about, the sufficiency and the power of Jesus Christ. Instead, what are we emphasizing? Law and obedience and faithfulness. Those are important. They are the response to the gospel. But those who are free and those who are safe and those who are secure, they become the ones who are the loudest in obedience. Because why? Because they have nothing to fear. What does it say? Perfect love casts out fear. God's love for us The way in which God loves us, which is unconditional, sacrificial, never ending, that love casts out this fear of like, I don't know if I'm saved. And it liberates us to go and lay our life down for Christ. You're not saved because you laid your life down for Christ. You're saved because Christ laid his life down for you. Now go lay your life down. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. We can never connect our actions to our salvation. It can't be the ground or the foundation. Now, it can be modes of encouragement for sure. But man, if you're going to examine something, if you're in the faith, there's only one way you're in the faith is if Jesus saved you. You know what? It's even that whole section I've done a whole section on examining because people are like, oh, Paul tells us to examine ourselves. Well, then go hear my episode on that and my critique of Philip Anthony Mitchell, who also does this, and Paul Washer. I did multiple. Just go to, there's a whole section on YouTube and our website on Lordship Salvation. Just go there and look at that, and you can watch those episodes. I deal with the whole examining sections. It's not what you think it is. It's so sad that we turn these episodes or these passages into that. Then he goes on, and he really begins to emphasize towards the end of this video about it's so important that it's our emotional experience, our sense of dedication is not our hope of salvation. You will never be dedicated enough. You will never be intense enough. You will never be faithful enough. You will never be enough. That's why I'm excited about this new book I have coming out called Enough of Christ. You'll never be enough because he's enough. And the weaker you become, the stronger he is. Because you stop looking unto Jesus, the author of your faith. What? Not you, the author of your faith. Not you, the founder of your faith. And not you, the perfecter of your faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter, the founder and finisher. He starts it in you. So listen, it's not like, hey, he gave you faith. Don't lose it. Don't fumble it. Don't mess it up. And people are like, I don't know if I have it. Are you like, if you ever, let me just help someone here. If you ever say, I don't know if I have faith in Jesus, you're probably the most saved person on the planet. What? Yeah, you're probably the most saved person on the planet. I don't know if I have faith in Jesus. Do you want to have faith in Jesus? Well, yeah. Do you want to be saved? Yes. Do you think he can save you? Do you believe that Jesus has the power to save dead sinners? Yes. Do you know you can't do that unless the Spirit opens your eyes to believe that? Well, there are many who even the demons believe. No. Don't misquote that passage. We're going to do a whole episode on that. But that is not what that passage means. That word doesn't mean what I think you mean it means. So the quote's always in my head. Listen, God is so tender and patient with those who are weak and meek and mild and struggle. Paul talks about this. He says, in my moments of weakness is when I see the strength of my King.
If you're new to Theocast, you may not have heard of this word. It's called pietism. Have you ever felt like the Christian life is a heavy burden versus rest and joy? That you wake up worrying about how well you're going to perform instead of thinking about what Christ has done for you? It's dread versus joy, really. That's pietism. Pietism causes Christians to look in on themselves and find their hope, not in what Christ has done, but what they're doing. And we have a little book for you. It's free. We want you to download it. And we're going to explain the difference between pietism and what we call confessionalism, Reformed theology, really. How it is that we walk by faith, seeing the joy of Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, what does that look like? You can download it at our website. Just go to theocast.org.
It's somewhere along the way, we have said strong Christians are the true saved ones. It's like, no, Paul's like, no, it's the weak. Go to Corinthians. Who is it that God chose? He chose the weak, the broken, those who have no influence, those who have no power. If you look at your life and you're like, man, there's nothing really about my life that really reflects, then you're probably a candidate for to stop and say, then why do you even want to know Jesus? Because God is drawing those who are weak and broken and meek and can't save themselves. That's who he saves. He saves the least of us. He saves the weak. He saves those who cannot save themselves. If you're over here like patting yourself on the back because, you know, you've done all this stuff, then maybe you should worry. But if you're ever saying, I can't do anything, I can't do this, I'm so weak, I struggle, we encourage you. You're not the author of your faith. You're not the founder of your faith. And you are not going to perfect it. And you're not going to finish it. He gives it to you and he completes it for you because he's the object. He's the source. He's the power. The gospel is not, here's power for you so you can save yourself. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It saves you. And the gospel is not a concept. It's a person. The gospel is Jesus. It is Jesus for you. And so this is so important. This illustration, which brings me to tears almost every time I watch it, by D.A. Carson, it is so vitally important that if you're in this moment where you're like, I just don't know, maybe I won't make it. Let me encourage you, dear believer, if you are putting the smallest fraction of faith in Christ, then you are safe and secure. Then you are okay. And you need to trust that and be good with that. And you need to go to a place that will present that to you. Go to a church that will preach to you the sufficiency of Christ, that will teach you the object of your faith, and that will not point to you as the founder of your faith, for you that is the protector of your faith, for to you as the finisher of your faith. They will say, look unto Jesus. I mean, there's so many passages that just constantly warn us to look to Christ. I mean, I love this about James, right? Where James is correcting their wicked ways. And then he says to them, but he gives more grace. Because it's grace that restores us. It's with grace that sustains us. Paul tells the Galatians, he says, how is it that you begun by the Spirit and you think you're going to perfect yourself by the flesh? He says, the way in which you begin is the way in which you continue. How did you begin? He gave me my faith. He's the author of it. He authored it in me. He gave it to me. He goes, so then what makes you think you're going to continue in any other way? Grace by faith. Faith in what? The grace of a king who perfectly laid his life down for you, obeyed, and then died, and now reigns as your great king. That is the sufficiency. So I never get tired of talking about this and every angle that is there, from the wonder of what he has done to what it does to us. So dear believer, go back and listen to this clip and be reminded once again that the blood that washes over me and my confidence and my rest is the same blood that washes over you. And you might be sitting there and saying, I wish I had the confidence of John. I wish I had the confidence of these D.A. Carsons and these big heroes. I wish I had that. Man, I must not be saved because I don't have that. I'm not saved by my confidence. You're not saved by your confidence. That means you're saved by your faith. You're putting faith in your faith. That's just as bad as putting faith in your faithfulness. Don't put faith in your faith. Well, I don't know if I have faith. What is faith? Let's talk about that for a moment. What is faith? Faith, biblically defined, is trust in a source outside of you, outside of your capacity. That's what faith is. Faith is the object of things not seen but hoped for, right? Like, we want this. We have a hope. And our hope is what? Grounded in reality. And then what is that reality? Jesus Christ. Well, who's Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God who became a man, who could take your place in obedience because Adam failed and then died for your sins because you're a sinner and rose again, defeating death, meaning that you don't have to die and you no longer have to live righteous because you can't, because the first Adam failed and the second Adam succeeded. And so he's offering this to you saying, do you think that that can save your soul from the pits of destruction under God's wrath? Do you think that me is enough? When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one can come to the Father but by me. Do you think it's enough? The road is narrow and no one can find it. What road? Because they think there's multiple paths to the Father. He's like, no, there's one. There's only one. Father, good teacher, what must I do? It's like, what do you need to do to be saved? Oh, okay. Here's what you need to do. Be perfect. You be perfect. You want to know what you need to do? You be perfect. And the rich man walks away. Why? Because he isn't perfect. And then what does the disciple say about the rich young ruler? Jesus, well, if he can't be saved, who can be saved? Because they assumed his righteousness was the blessings of God upon his life. His wealth was the result of his righteousness. And they said, well, man, if that dude can't be saved. And Jesus says, with man, it is impossible. If you sit there and you say, I talk about this in my book about law gospel distinction. If you sit there and say that the rich young ruler was unwilling to give up his wealth, that's why he wasn't saved. You didn't listen to Jesus. If the man gave up his wealth, he saved himself. And what does Jesus say? With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Man, I got a little heated about this because I want to liberate you. These people who are sitting here and you're drowning in grief and despair, and the accuser comes night and day, and he's pointing out his sins to you, and he's telling you, you are never going to be enough. You're never going to have enough faith. Hear me, dear believer. Come to Jesus. All you are heavy laden by your wicked ways, by the ways in which you have failed Jesus Christ, by the way you are not faithful enough, by the way you do not have enough faith. Don't put your faith in your faith, and do not put your faith in your faithfulness. Put your faith in the object of Jesus Christ, who says, I will give you rest. My salvation is enough for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you come to me, so faith is saying, Jesus, I want you to save me. I can't do it. I want you to keep me, sustain me. And I want you to change me. I can't do it. Now that, my friend, will change you, because you've given up. You've given up on your faith in you, and you've given up on your faithfulness, and you've looked to Jesus. And you can have every reason and every confidence to trust that he is sufficient. Not a long episode today, a little bit passionate one, but I wanted to just put this out for an encouragement to you. Hopefully this will be something that you listen to again. If you find yourself weak, or if you know someone who's struggling, send this to them. Encourage them. And if you want to know what to do from here, like after you hear this, our book on rest, very encouraging. You can download that. I should have a new book out very soon on Enough in Christ. But honestly, this book here, every single chapter, I am pushing you towards seeing how Christ is sufficient in all of Scripture. Every single page. You can learn how Christ is wondrous for you. He is for you, the sinner. And you can learn how to read that way and trust it. And the Bible becomes a magical book of wonder because you're looking to see who Jesus Christ is for you in the covenants, in the blessings, in the law, in the gospel, in the old and the new. And it's a supernatural power. By the way, that's what you want. You don't want a fleshly power where you have to do the work. You want a power that's outside of you. And that's why it's spirit bound in the gospel of Jesus Christ. A whole chapter in here is the cosmic view. You need a supernatural view of the Bible because it's the only way. You have to have faith in something that's outside yourself, which is fleshly. You need it in something that's eternally powerful, and that's Jesus Christ. So If you can't afford it, it's all yours. Just contact us. Let us know. We have a community where they're studying this book. I interact with you in the community. If you can't afford that, that's just how we support our ministry. It's how all of these videos are edited and the books are edited and everything gets out there is through your listener support. So if you can afford to support us, please do so. A simple free way is to like, subscribe, and comment. This lets the YouTube know that this video is helpful. Share it out there. If you're listening to this on a podcast, please leave us a review or subscribe. That's a simple way of sharing this rest. I want this message out there because there's so many people hurting and so many people confused and listening to horrible sermons and horrible teaching, putting their faith in their faith and putting their faith in their faithfulness. We don't want that. We want to liberate them. We want to get them in good gospel preaching churches. We need men, we need you to become pastors. We need you to become missionaries. If you want to become a pastor and missionary, contact me. Let's talk. We need more men in the pulpit. We need more people writing. We need more people talking about Jesus. People are leaving ministry by the thousands. We need to replace them with people who stand in the strength of the Lord and not in their own wisdom and not teaching people legalism and lordship salvation and all this garbage that's out there. We don't need that. We need gospel preachers who are holy men of God who stand up and say, God is for you. He will rescue you and he will sustain you and he will save you. And stand by bedsides and visit hospitals and teach little children and disciple them in the truth of the sufficiency of Christ. Man, if you're excited about that, then join the Theocast to come be a part of what we're doing. I love my church. I love my elders. I love my family. And I love this community because we are here to free people from Satan and his lies and put them into the wonder of the kingdom of light. So if you want to be a part of that, then start learning, start engaging, start grabbing. We're good at grabbing these resources. We're good. And I look forward to meeting one day, either online or in person or definitely around the King. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey guys, real quick. Some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community, and we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect with other like-minded believers, all of our resources are there, past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there, and you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.